Carolyn.
And I'm Bethany.
And we are
Sisters in Song.
Tonight we're talking with Andrew Weiss. The album The World's Smallest Violin by Andrew Weiss and Friends came out in October of 2024, and I'm really enjoying it.
Me too. And the fact that he is self-taught on many different instruments, which I am trying, but not working for me very much. But anyway, I can't wait to ask him all about that.
Me either. I know that we are teaching ourselves piano, so I'm interested to see what tips that he might have.
Absolutely,
for us.
Because just trying it out on the flow key is a little difficult for me. Here's a little more about Andrew. Long Island's Andrew Weiss and Friends have made a name for themselves since their debut LP arrived in 2018. With their unique blend of Laurel Canyon folk rock and the sonic flourishes of late 70s power pop, singer-songwriter Andrew Weiss clings to and cherishes moments of intimacy and emotional currency through his songwriting. A classic glow silhouettes his storytelling, fusing a smart throwback warmth and charm right into the work. Weiss's songs show off his chops for character-driven stories with an attention to detail on par with celebrated works from the likes of Dawes or Tom Petty.
The band's moniker, Andrew Weiss and Friends, honors music's essential pairing with camaraderie, something we could all use more of these days. Weiss's astute observations on love, life, and happiness, and how those things may have shifted in recent years, are vital reminders that music is, at the end of the day, a healing agent for all of us. So tonight we are thrilled to have Andrew Weiss joining us on the show. Welcome!
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, tell us where you're coming to us from tonight.
I'm coming to you from Long Island, New York.
Ooh, cool. So, okay, I'm going to start right off. It's been a couple of months since your new release, your album, The World's Smallest Violin, which I love that
so
name.
So do I.
And now you have a new single out. Tell us a little bit about that and the album.
Yeah, totally. They kind of go hand in hand, even though the single is not on that album. But I don't know if you guys know Pete Donnelly from The Figs, the great East Coast band, The Figs. Have you guys ever heard of them?
I've heard of them.
I have not. So
I have them down.
Yeah, highly recommend. Check them out. They're incredible. But yeah, I started to talk to Pete back in 2021 about working together. I was looking for a studio to record my next record, and he has a studio in upstate New York. And we kind of developed a friendship over email. And he's like, yeah, come on down to record. So, we started recording The World's Smallest Violin, what became that record. And it was just such a pleasure working with him. And once the record was finished, we kind of felt like we had more to do together. So I came back, I guess it was the summer of 2023, and we recorded the single, It May Be a Long Time Till You Get Your Karma, that just came out. And a couple other things that will come out over the next couple of months. So, Yeah, but it really just came out of working with Pete that way.
Very exciting. I love that. Collaborations, Jeff, always seem to, it's, we collaborate, so it's always cool to hear how other people make that work. So
yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Totally.
So how did you get started in a career as a musician?
Yeah, it's funny, like being a musician, like you just kind of are one and you don't even think about when it starts. But yeah, I guess I'd say I started playing drums when I was 2.5. My parents were very gracious and bought me a drum set when I was 2.5.
Gracious is a good word.
That is a good word, yes.
Exactly. But yeah, I was just obsessed with the Beatles, and I think they didn't really know what else to do except, you know, let's get this kid an instrument. So that's what they did, and that kind of morphed into, over the years, playing piano and guitar. And then by the time I was 7 years old, I had started to just become obsessed with writing songs, the idea of that. So I'd make up my own songs. My friends and I would sit at recess together and, you know, write our own songs that way. And then, yeah, I guess my first band was in elementary school, and then that morphed into other bands along the way. And yeah, I mean, it was just kind of the thing where, like, I wouldn't rather do anything else, and this is just what I do. So by definition and association, I'm a musician, you know?
That is very cool. So were your parents musical?
Yes. My parents did play when they were younger. My dad played guitar And my mom played and still does play piano. They didn't do it professionally, but they love music, and music was always in the house. And yeah, they were definitely very encouraging.
Very
Very
cool. That
cool.
just lended itself to
Yeah.
you getting into it. I can't believe they did drums at two
I
and a
know. I think
half,
that's
but hey, you know what?
terrible.
It keeps the terrible tooth in check. Could you get to just beat on something?
That's right. That's right. Maybe there's something to that.
That's awesome. So I know that you've taught yourself a lot of instruments. I'm going to ask you, are there any tips for teaching yourself? We're learning piano. We're teaching ourselves piano.
Oh,
So
cool. That's
yeah,
great. That's
trying.
great. You know, I actually I still teach music right now to r ages ranging from 5 years old to 70 years old. And what that's taught me is that anything is possible with practice.
Yes.
You know, see, like you get into it what you put in, you know?
Yeah.
So yes, but as far as teaching, I mean, for me, it came out of necessity because as a songwriter, my idols were Paul McCartney, still are, Lenny Kravitz. I'm trying to think of other people, but really just like people who did it all themselves, which I kind of found out later. You know, you listen to the first Lenny Kravitz album, Let Love Rule, and you think like that must be a band playing live together because it sounds so raw and cool and. But it's really Lenny playing all the instruments. Stevie
Amazing.
Wonder, the same thing, you know. Stevie Wonder, his first couple albums, you know, he's playing all the instruments on that, and you don't realize that that's what's happening until you do the research or read the liner notes later. But I guess that kind of inspiration was necessary for me because I'd be writing songs in my bedroom as a high school kid, and you know, I was professional as far as a drummer goes. You know, I took lessons, I played gigs at that time, but you know, guitar. I just kind of taught myself enough to be able to play my own songs. And then piano, the same thing. I teach myself to be able to play my own songs. It didn't matter about the virtuoso aspect at that point. You know, now I push myself, you know, now that I'm 30 and I, you know, look for new ways to be inspired by songwriting. And sometimes that's learning more theory based on the instrument, and that kind of thing, because that just opens up more avenues. But I think back then, when I was first getting started and really like getting into teaching myself the instruments, it was more out of necessity to like play my songs and look for ways to open up the instrument to get my songs to come out of me, you know?
Yeah, that makes total sense. So, guitar, piano, drums. Do you play other instruments or are you learning other instruments?
I play bass.
Okay.
Speaking of the world's smallest violin, I did have to take one semester of violin in college, although I didn't pursue it after that one semester. It was not a fun instrument to play for me. I mean, it was cool in a composer's mindset to learn how it works, but I didn't feel interested in playing it because, I mean, probably because you can't get very far with violin in one semester. It's just one.
Yeah. I want to ask about melody. Like, how do you develop melody? That's one of the things that we're really trying to figure out for ourselves because we do lyrics a lot and we don't really know how to put the music together with our lyrics yet.
Cool. Yeah. I think the way that at least it happens for me. I mean, when I say, you know, the way it happens for me, it sounds like there's a formula or something. There's no formula. I mean, I could, you know, choose five different songs to talk about of my own, and each one was birthed in a different way. You know, like there's just no real like surefire way to do it, which is kind of the fun of songwriting too, right? You're just poking around and seeing what you can get. But as far as melody goes, generally speaking, these days I feel like lyrics inspire the melody for me. If I have lyrics first, I'll kind of subconsciously ask myself like, what do these lyrics evoke emotionally? And I'm not sitting there going, okay, this note says this emotion and this note of the melody says this. That would be silly and overkill, but I think subconsciously my mind is working at that level where it's saying, okay, if I'm singing something sad, you know, what melody does that evoke in it, you know?
Yeah.
It's
So we need more practice.
just trial and error, you know, like you just try something, see what works, and you know, use your influences to like develop your own taste. I don't know, like your favorite songwriters, I think just like zero in on what they do and try and see if that works for you.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that too.
What do you do if you get stuck writing a song? How do you get unstuck?
That's a really good question. So I'll be brutal for a second. One piece of advice that a teacher of mine once gave me in college was that if you're bored or stuck when you're writing a song, throw it away and start over. I get what he's saying. You know, I mean, I think there is some merit to that because if you feel stuck, or if the song is stuck, or if you're bored with the song, then that means somebody else listening to this most likely will be too. That doesn't necessarily mean it can't be saved. You know, that's kind of where I kind of, you know, go against that theory a little bit. It's like, okay, well, I like some of this stuff. Maybe I sh it could be saved. But I don't know. There's that great story about, are you guys Beatles fans at all?
Oh, absolutely.
Great,
100%.
great. You know, John Lennon and George Harrison never really wrote together, from what I understand. But there were a couple of instances where George would ask John for advice on writing songs. And one of the things that John had supposedly said to George was, whenever you're writing a song, even if you feel stuck at some point, make sure you finish the song. Like you get at least like a rough draft, like a working draft that you could like play back to yourself the next day. Because as soon as you leave the room, and as soon as you leave the moment, your initial emotions and your intentions are not the same anymore. So when you revisit that song, if you thought you were stuck in the moment, you'll be even more stuck the next day, trying to get back into that moment. Whereas if you have a rough draft of the song and you can present that to your future self, you can then edit that version of the song with a clear head, as opposed to trying to finish it and getting it. Just like it's a different entry point, you know?
Yes. I mean, it probably becomes something completely different if you try to abandon it and come back to it a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It's
100%.
something not original intention.
Yes. Yeah.
100%.
Hey, musicians, are you looking for quality live show photos to highlight your work? Look no further than Summer Lee. Summer specializes in concert photography, and she's booking now in the Chicago and Nashville areas. She also travels and is tour ready. Find her on Instagram at summerlee.photo or Facebook at summerleephoto. Hit her up on DM for rates and availability. Summer shot for us at Americana Fest last September, and we can guarantee that she is the real deal and a true professional.
Where do you draw inspiration from?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably a really cliche answer, and you guys probably get this all the time, but anything and everything, you know? My antenna, I try to be cognizant that the antenna is always up and it's always working. Even if I'm not receiving much information, like the wheels are still turning. You know, TV shows I'm watching, relationships between characters, that seems to be kind of a nice source of inspiration these days. Books I'm reading, I really like fiction. So really like any sort of relationship that I am involved with in my own personal life is obviously the easy answer, right? Like you could say,
Yeah,
you know,
fair game.
friends, family, relatives, you know, like you hear stories and you write songs about that. That's of course the easy one, but I think there's definitely something to taking things out of the fantasy. Like if you take something that's already fantasy, like TV, movie, book, and you write a song about that relationship, it's almost more unique because it's not real, you know?
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a very good point. And it's not as close to you, too. So, something we struggle with is we can't get the words right because it's too close. So you're like, oh, I want to say this, but I don't know how to say it. So I like that.
And with songwriting too, and especially this scenario that you're asking about, it's like there's no better or worse, you know? Like a song is not better because it's real, you know, or a song
Yeah.
is not better because it's drawn from a fantasy experience. I think it's just a different kind of song, you know? Like, is Maxwell's Silver Hammer a worse song than
Right?
For No One? You know, depends on what mood you're in. You know, sometimes I
Yeah.
just want to listen to Maxwell Silver Hammer, and sometimes I can't stand it because I want to listen to For No One. So it
Well,
kind of depends on the mood, you know?
we
that's
certainly
great.
hope that Maxwell Silver Hammer is fictional.
That is a great point.
So, how would you describe your sound to listeners who haven't heard you yet?
Yeah, I think the best way that it was ever described to me, was power papacana. Where you have this world of late 70s power pop, such as Cheap Trick, those Elvis Costello, even earlier power pop. I mean, the Beatles in my world are kind of power pop, and there's Tom Petty in that way. But then you kind of have the Americana influence as well, of my music, which is more like Wilco, Buffalo Springfield, Neil Young, that kind of world. So I subconsciously must have merged the two together and caused someone to say it's power popicana. And I thought that that was so profound. And to be honest, I was so amazed by that description. I looked it up and I realized that no one had ever like used that phrase before it. And I actually got the trademark for it.
Oh, that's
We
fantastic.
are, we are, we own the brand of power popicana.
I need t-shirts. That's great.
Yes.
Exactly.
Or zippy hoodies. We like those.
Yeah.
Love the hoodie. Yep, exactly.
How, tell me about, or tell us about how you and your band came together. So you're Andrew Weiss and friends.
Friends, correct. Correct. Yeah,
Enough.
and that's not a cop out, which I was very aware of. I mean, of course, when you're coming up with a band name, there's so many things that can come into your head, and there's a million reasons why every band name is the coolest name ever, or it's the lamest thing ever. You know what I mean? It was a conscious decision to put my name in this band because I had come out of a band before this, the one that I was in for a while since high school, actually. I guess it lasted for, almost a decade, I suppose. So it was a long-standing band. Members had changed, but the MO stayed consistent. And by the end of that, it just kind of became a messy breakup, for a lack of a better phrase. And by that point, I was kind of over the democratic band, if you will. I mean, of course, any good band, there's a from my at least take on this, is that every band needs a real leader, even in a democracy. I mean, I think it's safe to say that, I know I keep bringing up the Beatles, but in a band like the Beatles, Paul McCartney was the leader of the Beatles. As much as they say, it was 25, 25, 25, 25, there has to be some sort of a guy spearheading this, and that's what it was. So I knew that I wanted to be that guy in this project, and I knew that, there might be lineup changes throughout, but the MO would stay the same. And so when it came time to choose the name, the way that I kind of got around putting my name there to make myself feel better was that, the Friends is not like, how you'll go see a show sometimes and you'll see like Phil Lesh and Friends, or so and so and Friends, and it's more just a way to describe the people who were there that night as a fleeting thing, where it's like, yeah, we're just like the end friends, like it doesn't matter who's in that band. Like, I don't want mine to be like that. So I really do have a certain definition of friends in my mind that I consider it, where it's not like this like temporary fleeting thing for one night only. I mean, as far as the members of this band go, I guess the first lineup was started in 2016, so that's how old this band is. We're almost 10 years old, 2016, and that lineup did not change until 2021. And then in 2021, the current lineup of the band formed. So this band has really only had two lineups in its 10 years, and I think that speaks volumes as far as like the definition of friends, that it's not like every single album is a different lineup, or every single show is a different lineup. There is a consistent flow to this,
It's not fleeting, friends. It's fast and continuous.
Yeah, there you go. Sure. Sure.
That's right. So, who does make up the band currently?
Yeah, so right now I play bass and I sing. Of course, in the studio, we're all kind of multi-instrumentalists, so we all kind of take on multiple roles. But as far as the live setting goes, I play bass and I sing. My wife, Sarah, she is a backing vocalist, and she plays percussion as well. My friend Sam Popkin, he plays guitar and sings backing vocals. Jesse Kessler plays the keyboards, and he has actually been in the band since 2016. So he is an original member like me. And then my buddy Joe Pess plays the drums. And yeah, we're a 5-piece band right now, and that's our current lineup. Yeah.
Very cool. So, as a creative person and as a musician, how do you, you're touring, you're doing all of the things. How do you maintain physical and mental wellness?
It's really out of pure like intention of doing that. Like you have to go out of your way to do that, because if you don't, it just won't happen.
Yeah.
I was actually asked this question a couple months ago, and I think my answer was something like, I'm getting better at doing that. But I think it is a constant struggle, and there are ups and downs to it, depending on the season, depending on the amount of creative inspiration you have in the moment. I tend to find that in moments of prolific activity, it's harder to stay like physically active, but I feel better mentally in those times, as opposed to when there's a lot of downtime. Maybe there's more time to exercise and take care of yourself, but so yeah, I mean, you just have to go out of your way to find it, but it's hard to do it, but I don't think it's impossible.
Well, I always consider it an investment in my future self.
Yeah, that's
Because,
right.
we only get one life, and if you take care of yourself now, going forward, you'll be out there
True.
still doing it. That's right.
Right. That's right. That's the way to see it.
Absolutely.
We have to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Brought Farm Designs. Brought Farm Designs offers the most adorable, handmade, washable, durable cat and dog bandanas and collar scrunchies. Our dogs look absolutely ravishing in theirs. Don't you want your dogs and cats to look as cool as ours? The coolest thing is that they hook onto the collar so you don't have to worry about them falling off or worry about them ending up in someone's mouth. They are perfect and they are adorable. Did I say they're adorable? Go to BF Designs 7. That's BFDESIGNS 7 on Instagram and send them a message and save 10% off your first order with the code Sisters in Song. Our dogs wholeheartedly approve.
We're going to ask you the four big questions now
All
that we ask on season four. And the
right.
first one is, what would you say is your first gig? And what would you say is your best gig so far or your favorite gig?
Okay. So wait, the first part of that question was what was my
First
first gig?
gig, yes. So you can
Ooh.
say first gig of your own or for your band, whatever, whichever you would like to answer.
First gig. Okay, well, I have a funny story about one of my first gigs. So this isn't my first gig ever, but my previous band, the one that I was talking about before, Andrew Weiss and Friends, our first gig ever was at a club in New York City called the Red Lion. And we were playing, I think it was a Wednesday night, like a pretty like it was like college kids, like the kind of, I mean, we were in college, and I had realized that I didn't have a guitar tuner. I didn't bring it with me from home, so I went out to Guitar Center that day and bought a guitar tuner. Now, the way that we tune our instruments in America is to 440 hertz. That's an A note, and you've probably seen those numbers all the time. In Europe, they tune it to 442. And
Oh,
I had unknowingly bought a European guitar tuner. So well, I sh show up to the gig thinking everything's fine. We play our gig, and at some of those New York City venues on Bleecker Street and Thompson Street, you don't really hear yourself very well. So, we thought the gig was great. It played fine. And when we're watching the videos back the next day, and I'm going, somebody's out of tune. Like, I don't, what's going on here? Somebody's out of tune. So, I text everybody in the band. I'm were you guys tuning? Did you guys? And they're like, yeah, no, we're all accounted for. And I said, well, I just bought a tuner yesterday. I mean, I was in tune. I was using it during the show. And lo and behold, I sure, I find that it was tuned to 442. So I was the one out of tune the whole gig.
really funny.
Yep. So that was a good lesson. Yeah, so that was a good first gig for that band, but it was a fun story to look back on.
Do you have a favorite gig that you've ever done, or we could also, I guess, say a favorite venue? A
Yeah.
favorite gig is too
So
hard.
far, anyway.
So far, that's right.
Yeah, no, for sure. There is a gig that sticks out to me. We're of course an original music band. You know, we write our own music, but we kind of fell into this gig in 2023 to play Grateful Dead music at a Grateful Dead Day hosted by the Washington Nationals, the MLB baseball team.
Okay.
So they hired us to do that, and there were about 5,000 people there watching us. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Grateful Dead community. Us as a band, Andrew Weiss and friends, I mean, we are all Grateful Dead fans. And of course, there's some overlap in our own music to the Grateful Dead sound, but you know, before that, we weren't really involved in the community or anything like that. But to see 5,000 Grateful Dead fans just giving off this energy back at you, I mean, you're playing this incredible music, first of all. I mean, the Grateful Dead, I mean, one of my favorite bands of all time, but you're just putting out this music and they're just giving you this big ball of love, energy, good vibes, and they're just throwing it right back at you. I mean, the experience of playing that kind of music in front of 5,000 people who were just so happy to be there was pretty mind-blowing. And yeah, that sticks out to me. It's just a really incredible moment in my life, not just as a concert, just being so humble by the whole thing.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
a neat experience. And another great story to tell.
So you've mentioned lots of people, but if you had to narrow it down to three, who would you say are your influences?
Well, I think Paul McCartney, there's no secret there. I mean, he's got to be number one for me. I think Tom Petty would be number two. Yeah, he's just another face on my Mount Rushmore for sure. And then I guess I'd say probably Carl Wilson from the Beach Boys.
Cool.
Yeah, just as a songwriter, as a musician, singer, just general human being. Again, he's another one on my Mount Rushmore, but I could go on and on, and tomorrow maybe I'll change my answer, but right now
That's
that's what I'd say.
okay, well, on that same vein then, what are you listening to on repeat right now?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I'm going to see Elvis Costello next week, and
Yes.
right now I've been listening to a lot of Elvis, so I'd say that's probably my current obsession, but again, I say current obsession. You know,
Yes, right.
you guys listen to music in chunks of like being immersed in one artist for a span of days or weeks, or do you guys kind of like to switch it up every day or a couple of
For
days?
me, it depends on my mood. Like, I'll
Yeah.
get into a space where I'm like, this, I'm only listening to this. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm gonna hear what's new and kind of, oh, yeah, it just depends on
Yeah.
my mood.
And it depends also on the how you're getting the music. Like in my car, I have Sirius XM, so I listen to the Beatles channel a lot, but then
Yeah.
I also listen to like Elvis Presley and the different channels. But then if I'm listening to like Spotify or something like that, then it's usually one artist
Yeah.
that I kind of listen and play on.
Totally. Totally. Yeah, no, I'm always curious about that because I like to spend like a week or two on one artist, and it's not that even that I like to do that. I can't get my headspace out of it. You know, like
Yep.
I would like to be able to be more inclusive to other artists in my listening experience at one time, but I find that in the span of a year, it's probably like maybe close to 24 artists because I'm just cycling through two per month or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Do you keep coming back to them? Like, there's certain bands that I always come back to. Like, I have listened to the Radiohead catalog probably thousands of times. I'm like, oh, I've got to listen to them. I'm in the mood again.
Yeah.
It depends on the year, I guess. I mean,
Yeah.
I'm kind of aware that there's some years where I'll listen to Paul Simon for like a long time, or we'll come back like in the winter and the summer, you
Yeah.
know. I find music very seasonal too, you know.
Yes. Yeah. This.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think it just depends on the mood really, right? I mean,
So, what advice would you give to new musicians and or songwriters?
I think for musicians, you know, because I, like I was saying before, I teach a lot of young aspiring musicians, and I just encourage them to practice as much as they can. I know it's hard when, you know, you'd much rather be doing something else sometimes than practicing and putting in just hours to your instrument. And I do get the question a lot as a teacher saying, you know, how can I get better? And I'll say, practice. And they say, But what else? I'm like, that's it. You got to practice, and I truly mean that. So, if I was to give just one piece of advice to any musician, it would be to practice. And I mean, and I always back it up to them by saying, I still practice. You know, I'm still searching for things and trying to get better at things. So, practicing does not end ever. And once you're okay with that, I think then you can really become humble to the instrument and respect it in a way that makes you want to pick it up and play it.
I like that.
Yeah, that's very
That's
good
very good
advice.
advice for us too.
Yeah. I put it on my list of things to do, and I just make sure I at least get a little bit of time in on both the piano and the guitar. So that's
Totally. Yeah. Any practice is better than no practice.
right. Okay, so now we would love if you would share a song with us. Tell us the name of the song and kind of about it a little bit.
I guess it would make sense for me to talk about it. It may be a long time till you get your karma. Yeah, I guess with this one, I'm kind of talking to myself, but I'm also talking to just people in general where, you know, we're living in this time where you see just people who you don't think deserve what they have get what you want, you know, whether that's on social media because people are posting about the best versions of themselves and you don't see their underlying, you know, you just don't see anything else in their life. You just see that. So I guess in a way, what I mean by that song is that you'll get what you're supposed to get when you get it, you know, and you kind of have to be okay with that. So yeah, that's what I was kind of going for with that song.
Better for those.
And thank you for sharing that with us.
Yes. So now it's time for your shameless plug. Where can we find you on social media, website, Bandcamp, all of the things?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So our music is available on Spotify, Apple Music, and I believe pretty much anywhere you want to stream music. We're on Bandcamp as well. We also have vinyl for sale for our most recent album called The World's Smallest Violin. And I ship it myself, so if you order one, I will include a free sticker. we also have t-shirts for sale too. And yeah, that's that. And then we're going to be...
Well, thank you so much, sir, for being on our podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. This was such a great conversation. I really enjoyed it.
That was so much fun.
It's great to meet. I think we say that every time, but it's seriously, every time is so much fun.
I know.
I love talking with him. It was great. And the teaching perspective is always great. And I know we need to practice.
Yes, I know. And it's, I love that he's self-taught because it makes me have some hope.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, obviously we take guitar lesson, but yeah, it's just like, enlightening to see that it is possible.
It is possible.
Anything is possible with practice.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Come on, sisters in song.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Andrew, for being on the show. It was great chatting with you, and we hope to see you and friends down the road.
Thanks for listening to Sisters in Song. Follow us on all social media platforms at Sisters in Song Podcast, and follow us wherever you stream your podcasts. If you like our show, please like and follow us on all of your social media. Please feel free to share.